Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Mem Vav. And we had actually done the first couple of lines of Mem Vav at Aleph, but we're going to begin today's shiur, chazering over quickly the last few lines of Mem Hei Omid Beis. And we'll begin from the two dots. And we're quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, V'chein le'inyan tumah, imakbid olav chotzeitz, v'imrosu b'kumah arehu kareva. Talking in the second part of the Mishnah in regards to Hilchas Tumah, and we had pointed out, it said V'chein, and likewise, just like in the first part of the Mishnah, which dealt with saying that the shear is a Kizayis, the second part of the Mishnah deals with the shear of Tumah, and it says that that deals with whether you're a Makbid or not, and not the shear of a Kizayis. So the Gemara is going to question, how come you say V'chein, and likewise, it doesn't seem to fit the language. So we did this yesterday, Chazir again. Now, review this says, you have to change the words around in the Mishnah. The question, the Gemara, Midam, Yehasim, B'Shirur, Taya Milsa, Hachem, B'Kveh, Taya Milsa, the Reisha, the first part is talking about the Shear of a Kizayis, and the second part says it depends whether you're Makbid or not, so Amar of Yehuda, Eimo, Linyan Atuma, Eino Kain, that the word V'chein is wrong, it should have said V'eino Kain, Linyan Atuma. That was a simple resolution, a mistake in the Girsa. Abaya and the others do not like to say there's a mistake in the Girsa unless there's absolutely no choice, and they each come up with individual terutzim, each of which will then be rejected by the subsequent Amora. So Abaya comes up with the first terutz and he says, Amalei, ha v'chein linyan tumaktani, it did say the word v'chein, so don't be so quick to change it, Rav Yehuda. Instead, learn it this way. El Omar, Abaya says, hachikamer, this is what the Mishnah says, when the Reisha is talking about a kizayis and the Seif is talking about whether you're makbid or not, the word should be v'chein linyan tziruf tumah b'pesach. That the second part is dealing with whether you can combine the dough that's in the crack with something else to be mitzarif it together. And that will depend in regards to Tumah B'Pesach, in regards to when it's during Pesach, you follow the Shear of a Kizayis. That's what it means V'chein. However, B'Shayim Mos Hashanah, the rest of the year, Ikapluk, so then we differentiate and say, are you Makbid or you're not Makbid? And Hechidami explained that. Kigon, Dika Pachas B'Kabetza Ochlin. You have less than a kibbutz's worth of Oakland, which we mentioned many times, including in yesterday, the end of the shiur, that Rashi's shita throughout Shas is that any size item can accept tumah, but to transmit tumah, you need a kibbutz. So Tosis's shita is that no, even to accept tumah, you need to be the size of a kibbutz. Here we're talking about, are you mitzarev to the kibbetza, either according to Rashi or according to Tosos. So if you have pachos mikibbetza, and the nagu b'hai batzik, and it touches to this dough in the cracks of the areva, and now you have the shear of a kibbetza. So during Pesach time, we say that the shear in the cracks is dependent upon, is it a kizayis or not? Do we say the isuro choshev? If it's a choshev amount, which is defined as a kizayis, so then mitzarev. During Pesach, we use the shear of a kizayis. And the rest of the year, Bishar Yimos Hashana, there we ignore the fact whether it's Kizayis or not. We look at only whether it's the Kepeda Talyamilsa. Are you Makbid or not? If you're Makbid, in Makbid, you absolutely do not want that there. So then, in Makbid Olav, that you don't want it there, so then Starif, it's not considered subordinate to the trough, and therefore it's considered a separate entity and can combine to make the share of a kibbetza. However, if you want it there in the crack and you're subordinating it to the trough and it's nullified, so then it's treated like the areva and you don't have the share of a kibbetza. So that's what a bayis teretz is. When it says v'chein, it's talking about v'chein linyan tziruf tumah. However, Rava doesn't like that. Now here we start off where we left off yesterday. Maskif lo Rava. Rava says, I'm sorry, Abaye, you're also wrong. Look at the words carefully. The words didn't say v'chein le'inyan tziruf tumah, miktani mitzarev. It said v'chein le'inyan tumah. It's chotzeitz v'ha'chotzeitz k'tani. In makbid chotzeitz, in lo makbid it's not chotzeitz. So therefore, your language is also no good. You're upset there, Rav Yehuda, change the wording around. You also change the wording around. So therefore, Rava says, El Amar Rava, I'll give you my teretz. The real way to say that the Sefer is like the Reisha V'chein is V'chein lahalos taharo la'areva. We're dealing here, can you use this areva? Is there a chatzitza here or not when you go and put it in the mikvah? What do we mean? Hechidami. So, kigon, for example, the itme hachareva, this areva became tame, and now you want to immerse it in the mikvah. So, ubay liet bule. So you want to go and immerse it in the mikvah. So during Pesach time, the Pesach, the isuro choshuv, the iser is dependent upon, do you have a kizayis or not? We determine significance as to whether there's a kizayis there or not. So therefore, if it's a kizayis, it's chotzeitz. Velo sol gole tvila, and therefore you can't be tovel it because there's a chatzitza. That's what it means, v'chein, for the dinim of tvila, for this keli, so it's the same din as the reisha, where you said a kizayis is the critical factor or not. So too, for the tefillah during Pesach, the critical factors are kezayis. However, b'shayimos hashana, then we don't look at the kezayis. We say b'kpei the tayimosa. Then we look at it: are you makbid or not? I makbid alav. If you do not want it there, you want to get rid of it. So then it's a chatzitza, chotzitz. However, imrotz b'kumo, if you want to fill in the crack and you're subordinating it to the trough, and you're never going to take it out, so then, how are you kareva? Then it's not considered chatzitza, and you can immerse it with that there. That's Rava's teretz. Again, Rav Papa says, you're doing the same thing that Abaye did, you're doing the same thing that Rav Yehuda did, you're not following the words of the Mishnah. Maskif lo Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, miktani, it didn't say those words either. Just like Rav Yehuda, it didn't say, and it's not that way, and it didn't say for Abaye, the Tzir of Tumah, it doesn't say over here, Lahalos Tahara, Lareva. It says, V'chein, it doesn't say, V'chein L'inyan Tahara. It says, V'chein L'inyan Tumah, K'tani. So therefore, your Teretz, Rav, is no good also. So Rav Papa says, here's the real Teretz, here's the fourth and final Teretz. Elam Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, when the Mishnah says, V'chein, it means L'inyan Lahorid Tumah La'areva. It's, can this Areva now accept Tumah when it comes into contact with something? For example, Heichidam, what are you talking about? Kigon, the Naga Sheretz Bahai Batzik. A Sheretz, which would be Metame, doesn't touch the trough, but it touches the Batzik, the dough, that's the in the Sidke Areva, that's in the cracks of this Areva. Now, do we say that the Sheretz is Metame the Areva or not? So, Bid Pesach, during Pesach, the Isuro Choshev, we say the critical determining factor is, was there a Kezayis there or not? If there's a Kezayis, it's Choshev, and therefore it is an important entity. So, therefore, during Pesach, if there's a Kezayis there and the Sheretz touches the Kezayis, the Sheretz didn't touch the trough, and it only touched the food, the Kezayis of the dough. And Adam, the Kalim, cannot be Metame by a dough. Ochlin can't be metame or the mekalim. So therefore, the sheretz touched this dough, it made it into a rishon, and a rishon ochlin can't be metame or the mekalim. It can only be metame from an avatoma. So therefore, it's chotzeis. There's an interposition. Below nosu lo atoma. And it doesn't become tame. If it's less than a kezayis, so then it's as if it touched the areva itself, because it's subordinate to it. So that's during Pesach. That's the v'chein, is in regards to lahorid tuma li areva. That's Tumah, and that's exactly comparable. Likewise, the Sefer is exactly the same words as the Reisha. And then Mishayimos Hashana, the rest of the year, it's not totally on whether it's a significant amount, it's totally on whether the Pekpeda Talya Milsa, it's only whether you're makbid on it being there or not. In makbid Allah, if you absolutely do not want it there, you're makbid that it shouldn't be there, so then it's a chatzitz, a chotzitz, and when the sheretz touches the dough, it's not matami the areva. However, in rosa b'chuma, but if you want the dough in the sidke areva, that's where it's permanent going to be, and it's nullified to the areva, so then it's if the sheretz touches the areva, and harihu kareva, and therefore the areva would become tamei. And that concludes this little sugya that we're finishing off from yesterday. And we begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, batze kacheresh, if you have a dough that is a cheresh. A cheresh is a deaf person. So this dough is considered deaf. What does that mean? So Rashi explains two possible explanations. Number one, he says, she'ein nikar, it's not recognizable in this dough, im hichmitz, im lav. You can't tell by looking at this dough. It doesn't have any of the simonim of becoming chametz. So this dough wasn't worked on. It could have become chametz, but it doesn't have the simonim of chametz. So it's like a deaf person. Shemu shunhu kecheresh. It's different than other doughs, just like a cheresh is different than other people. The cheresh has a sheesh lo oznaim, he has ears. However, you can't tell whether he can listen, when he can hear or not. When somebody has ears, it doesn't mean that they necessarily can hear. So to this dough, it doesn't have simoni chametz, but it may become chametz. Then adam omed al biruro v'al daito. And nobody knows over here. Nobody can state with certainty, oh, I was working on this dough the whole time. There's no way it became chametz. We just don't know. So you have the dough that doesn't have the simonim of chametz, but maybe it became chametz. Alternatively, Rashi says, Lishnachrina, it's a batzek hacheres, that this is from a klicheres, which is kosher kicheres. It's like hard, like a klicheres is hard. And therefore, v'einu nikor shehichmetz, and you can't tell whether this kli has become chametz or not, because it's hard. And therefore, Rotzalomar, Hechsifu Panov, Vein Siduk. It has somewhat of a paleness to it, which is the earlier sign of Chimutz, but there are no cracks in it. And therefore, you don't know, did or did it not become Chametz. So in either way, it's called a Batzek HaCheresh or Batzek HaCheres. So imyesh kayotzi bo, if you have a dough that was done at the same time, and that dough that was done at the same time does have simanim shehichmitz, so then hareza is also. The Mishnah says, so in that situation, we view them both as probably being the same. So you have the companion dough that became chametz, so mistama, this dough that is called hacheresh is also, in fact, chametz. We treat it that way. Mar starts off and says, "Im ein shom kayotzi bo mahu." Okay, that's great. If you did two doughs at the same time, so look at the second dough, the control dough, and see if the control dough is chametz. So mistama, the dough that you're talking about, the batzik echeirish, has also become chametz. Great. If you have a second dough, that's wonderful. But what happens if you don't have a second dough? What are you supposed to do? So I'm a Rabbi Avo. That's the girsa that we have. We'll see in a moment. Some say that this Amor is Rabbi Avu and not Rabbi Avohu. In any event, the girsa that we have is Amar Rabbi Avohu, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Avohu says the name Reish Lakish. When you don't have a comparison dough, the control dough to compare it to, what you do is you say, was there enough time that it was sitting? Kidei she'elich odom mi'migdal nunya l'tveria. If a person could have walked the distance that it takes a person to walk from Migdal Nunya to l'tveria, to Tveria, which is a mill, so then that's the time it takes for a dough that's not being worked on to go and become chametz. That distance of a mill is the famous 18-minute matzah. That's the famous shir that it takes a normal person 18 minutes to walk. There are different opinions. Some say more than 18 minutes, up to 24 minutes. But we're working simply here that it takes 18 minutes for a person to walk. That's what we usually use lahalacha. Sometimes we're machmet use 24. But in this situation, we're machmet use 18. And if a dough is left unworked on for 18 minutes, we have to presume that it became tameh. That's what the shir is when you don't have the control dough, the comparison dough to view it with. So he said it's the distance that it takes to walk from this city called Migdal Nunya to this city called Tveria, a mill. So Gemara says, just say a mill, the name a mill. Why are you telling us this extraneous information? So Gemara says, no, that's the Chiddush that Reish Lakish was telling us. Hokam Ashvalon, the Shiura, the mill. People are going to then say, if you say it's a mill, and how long is a mill? So in order that people should know how long it takes a person to walk a mill, what is a mill? 2,000 amas, so the mill is Migdal Nunya via Tveria. The distance that it takes to walk from these two cities, Migdal Nunya to Tveria, that is a mill, 2,000 amas, which is roughly a kilometer, and that amount of time it takes a normal person to walk is 18 minutes, so therefore if the dough is left unattended for 18 minutes, you have to presume it became chametz, even if it doesn't have the physical signs of kisuf or of siduk, which we'll learn about still later on. Now, Amar Rabbi Avohu, Amar Reish Lakish. Rabbi Avohu said the name of Rabbi Shimon Malakish. Another thing, he said that this shear of 18 minutes is also applicable, the shear of a mill is also applicable, legabo. Rashi explains legabo means to knead a dough, and Rashi says it means, hamagabel isas acherim mischar. If you're a hired hand to go and knead somebody else's dough, now, you're kneading the dough, but his kelim or tome, the kli bal habayis temeim. So, what are you supposed to do? You're not supposed to be matami things, but here you don't have a choice. You do have a choice. Go find another kli that's tar, or go find a mikvah to immerse those utensils in to make them no longer tummy. So the din is that you have an obligation to go and walk ad arba milim, hitrichu chachamim leilech lemikvah litvo kelim. So you have an obligation to walk 4 mil, 4 kilometers, 4 times 2,000 amos, 8,000 amos, and that distance is 72 minutes, 4 times 18 minutes. And therefore, you have to go and walk that distance so you don't go and knead the dough in tumah. That's how Rashi understands Legabel. Tosos says, no. Pirish Biaruch, Tap Tosos, he says that the Aruch explains that we're talking here, the Ba'odam HaMahalich Baderech, a person's going on the road, and he wants to make himself a dough. And Myri Dumya the Tefillah, and he says it's the same halacha like Tefillah, to go and daven to wash your hands. Dimyesh Gabol Ha'osa Isaso Bitaro, Berichuk Dalid Milim, as long as there's somebody who bakes dough that's tar within Dalid Milim, in other words, 72 minutes, 4 kilometers away, 4 times 2,000 amos away, so you shouldn't eat now by a person who makes it tame. Yam tinach yegila oso gabo, wait till you get to that kneader of dough. The hashtossi shaper, the loshanu elalafanav koi akulu. And that's why it will make sense in a moment when we say this is a person traveling. So here, the way the Aruch understands is it's talking about a person traveling. According to Rashi's understanding, it's not talking about a person traveling, it's a person sitting in his house kneading dough. How far does he have to walk? So why should it make a difference? And he's going, quote, forward, or he's going backwards. So that's why Tosus likes the Aruch's shot better, which we'll see in a moment, understand better in a moment, when the Gemara says that there's a difference between a person going forward, i.e. continuing his travels in the direction that he's going, versus having to retract and go backwards. The difference is going forward, you go up to 4 mil, going back, you only have to go 1 mil. So that is the first thing that we're giving a share of 4 mil, as we'll see in a second. we're using a mil, but it's 4 mil. So Rabbi Vav Mir Shlokhi says, Legabel, it's going to be 4 mil. Letfila, if a person wants to daven, Rashi says, V'chein letfila, back in that same Rashi. In Mahalech Adam Aderech, a person's going on the road. Here, Rashi also agrees we're going on the road. Uba Eis Lalun, and he wants to go and stop traveling for the day. So he has to go daven. So Ulis Palo, he's not going to daven in this town without a minion. So how far does he have to go to continue his daven, on his traveling, in order to reach a minion? So Miesh Be'esek Knesses Lefona Berichuk Arba Milim. As long as there's a shul within 4 mil, so then he should continue to travel. Holech Umis Palo Sham, and daven over there, and then Velon Sham, and go and take your hotel stop for the night over there. And the same thing, likewise, if a person has to wash his hands before eating bread. So how far does he have to travel? If he's on the road traveling, as long as there's a rest stop within 4 mil, 72 minutes. Now, when we say 72 minutes, if you're walking or driving by car, it's going to take a tremendously shorter period of time to go 4 mil, 4 kilometers if you're driving by car. So it depends on the mode of transportation. That's the way of Allah Lamaisa. Whatever mode of transportation you're taking, it's 18 minutes or 72 minutes, depending whether it's a mil or 4 mil. So if you're going by car, so you have 72 minutes worth of driving at 55 or 65 miles per hour. That's how far you have to travel to get to the rest stop to go for another minyan or to go for Netilas Sedayim, or like the Oruch says, to go and find a place that makes the dough, the Tahara. So therefore, in all of these situations, you have to go continue traveling in your forward direction, in the direction that you're traveling. Holich l'sham, you travel to that 4 mil place away, the no tilas yadav, and then you wash your hands over there, you daven over there, or you take the dough over there. That's what Rabbi Avohu says in the name of Reish Lakish. Legabel, uletvila, uletila sidayim, all of these, the shir is arba milin. You have to go travel for milin. Tosus points out that here, he likes Rashi's pshat, that it's talking about davening, and he doesn't like the Aruch's pshat, because the Aruch says over here that it's how far you have to go to wash your hands before davening, as opposed to eating. And he says that's not true, because it says elsewhere that Abaye was liet, or Rav Chista, depending on the girsa, liet, he would curse a person that wouldn't go daven right now with a minion because he was looking for water to go wash his hands, and he would go and not daven with a minion because he was looking for water. There are other ways to clean your hands that you could daven with a minion and not give that up. In any event, these are the three things that Rabbi Avohu said in Reish Lakish, that you have to go and be traveling 4 mil for to need, for tefillah, and for netilas yadayim. The Gemara says, however, Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok, Rav Nachum says, first of all, it's not Rabbi Avohu, it's Ivo Amora. The Amora who said this, the name of Reish Lakish, was not Rabbi Avohu, but is Rav Ivo. And number two, he didn't say three things, the Arba Amar Ba. He said four things, the three that you said, Legabel, Letfila, Netila, and he added a fourth thing, V'chod Minayu, he added on one additional thing, Ibud, tanning of a hide. Now, what does this mean, tanning of a hide? So Rashi explains. This is a Mishnah Chulin. And the Mishnah Chulin is Nebuch talking about different types of skins, whether they're considered food or not, or whether they're considered capable of being with Tamei Tumah because they're considered like food. So when you have the hide of an animal, so the hide of an animal is still considered food until you go and start tanning the hide. Once you start tanning the hide, it takes it out of being in the status of basar, and it turns it into a hide, and a person wears a leather jacket, he's not becoming tummy from the leather jacket. But if a person's eating the skin on a chicken or the skin on a piece of meat, so then this type of skin is still considered basar. So, Rachman Lutzan, what happens in the case of human skin? So, human skin is, of course, mitame, nebuch, like a body. So, if you tan human skin, which, of course, we shouldn't do, but if somebody did it, is it mitame or is it not mitame? So, the Mishnah there says, Ditnan, the kulon shi'ibdon, with all other types of skins other than human skin. So, if you start the tanning process on them to turn them into a leather jacket, so or, o shi'ilich ben kidei avoda, or if you stepped on it, you would go, Rashi explains, the way they would start the tanning process would be to put it down on the floor and people would step on it and that would start the tanning process. So either you actually literally started the tanning process or you just even started it by just stepping on it. So if it was being stepped on for a distance of 4 mil, then in this situation it loses its status of being now called basar and tahorin. It no longer can be kabel tumah. Now this is true for all different types of skins and hides, with the exception, chutz, me'ara, or the rechman l'tzlan, human skin. Here, even if it was made into a hide, even if it was stepped on, it doesn't lose its status of being metame. And the Gemara in Chulin explains, because this was a gzeira that the rabbis instituted, because they didn't want people, rechman l'tzlan, trying to preserve their parents. Rechman l'tzlan, after they died, they would want to preserve them, and they would tan them, they would embalm them, and they would go and keep them this way without burying them. There's a mitzvah, kavor tikberenu. You have to go and bury a person. And therefore, they didn't want people to go and tan and make into a permanent embalmed type of a structure the parent's skin, and therefore they said that it's still going to be metame even after it technically is a hide. So therefore, this din, that it loses its status of a skin, loses its status of being basar in terms of tum and tara, is for everything but human skin. Chutz mi'ara adam. And the kama kidei avoda, and when we said over here that is considered v'kulan she'ibdan o shilich ben kidei avoda, how much is that? So we said the distance is walking 4 mil. The kama kidei avoda, amar rab. Now the girsa that we have is rav inya, but the girsa on the side is this rav ivu. Again, the same rav ivu, amar rav yanai. Said the name rav yanai kidei hiluch arba bilim. The amount is the amount of walking of 4 mil. That will go and turn it from no longer being basar into being considered a hide. Now, Amar Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yosi said, Rabbi Chanina, Lo Shanu, that which we said that the din is 4 mil, either the 3 that we said is 4 mil or the 4th one that we added is 4 mil. That distance is only when you're traveling on the road and you're going further in your distance. Lo Shanu Ela Lefanav. You keep on traveling in direction. You're going from point A to point B and you stop in the middle. So you have to go from the place you stop in the middle an additional 4 mil. That's considered how far you have to go. Avol Yachor. But if you say, whoops, I need to dive in the minion and there's no minion within the next 4 mil, but there was a minion 2 mil back. So do you have to turn around to go backwards? No. Avol Yachor. You don't have to go back 4 mil. You only have to go back afilu mil enochoser. A mil you don't have to go back. The Gemara will say, less than a mil, you do have to go back. And this has tremendous halach l'maisa consequences that I'll explain in a moment. So the din that Rav Yosi, Rav Chanina qualifies when you say you have to go 4 mil is only if you're going in that direction. But if you're not going in that direction, then you only have to travel a mil out of your way. And Amar Rav Acha, Umina, from here we learn out this very important halach l'maisa. Mil hu deinu chozi, you don't have to go back a mil. However, a little bit less than a mil, 0.9 mil, hapachus mi mil chozi, you do have to go back. And the major halach l'maisa ramification of this is a person is sitting in his house and he realizes he didn't daven mincha, he didn't daven ma'ariv. And does he have to get up and go to shul? So if he doesn't live near a shul, if he lives more than a mil away from a shul, so then it's a midas chasidus. He should, of course, go if he can, but he's not mechuyif to go. But if he lives within a mil of a shul, so then he can't say, I'm going to daven at home. He should get up and go to shul in that situation. So this has ramifications, not only for travelers, this has ramifications. The person sitting in his house, he's not traveling, but you have to go out of your way a mil, again, about a kilometer. And again, if you're driving, so that's much more than a kilometer. It's the amount of time that you would drive, 18 minutes. So if a person has a car and he could drive to a minion that's within 18 minutes of his house, so then he should drive. The person lives out in the sticks someplace where there's no minion in his town, but there's a minion in the next town over, but it's an hour and a half away. He's not mechuyev to go. If he wants to go, call a kavod, what a great tzaddik, but he's not mechuyev to go. But if the next minion is a little bit away, no, he'd have to get in his car and go 5 minutes away. So then he can't be lazy. The person should go in that situation. That's the halacha l'maisa ramification of this. Next Mishnah. Ketzad mafrishin chala betumah biyontif. Here we're introducing a new idea that we try to take off chala. Chala is a type of truma. We've mentioned this many times. It has nothing to do with what we call in the vernacular chala today. Chala is one of the 24 matnos kahuna. It's like truma that you take off from a dough. An individual who bakes a dough has to give 1/24 of it once it reaches a certain size of dough, about 5 pounds. We're machmer to even take off a dough that's 2.5 pounds without a bracha. But if you're making a dough that's more than 5 pounds, so then vaday midoraisa, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, even in Chutz Laretz, it's probably the Rabbanan, that you have to be mafrish challah from this dough, and it's given to the Kohen. Okay, unfortunately, by Vasena Rabban, there's no paraduma to sprinkle on. The Kohanim are all tomei. Thomas Mesa, they can't eat it. There is a possibility that the Rabbanon, certain types of challah, chutz laretz, technically could be eaten by a Kohen who doesn't have certain types of bodily tumah. In any event, we'll leave that for discussion another time. The bottom line is, we're not wanting to ever be mafrish challah when it's tumah, because you got a problem over here in that you're turning something that is one of the matnas kuna, like truma, into something that's tumah, and nobody's going to be able to eat it. So therefore, we try to always do this b'tara. So the Mishnah says, what you do, ketzad mafrishim challah b'tumah b'yontif. Now you have a dough that's tameh. It's never going to become untameh. There's no way to make it untameh. And now you want to eat this dough. You're cooking it on yontif. You're allowed to bake and cook on yontif. So you want to bake this challah on yontif. Now if it's Pesach, you have an additional concern about chametz, which is what we're dealing with over here. So you have a dough, and it became tameh, and now you're working it on yontif, and you want to have matzah on yontif to eat. So what are you supposed to do? How are you taking off challah? Now, the problems here are that you're not allowed to go and bake on yontif except to eat on yontif. On yontif, you can't bake for after yontif or for a weekday. And you're not allowed to bake something that's not edible. So challah that's tameya is not going to be able to be eaten by the kohen. So you're stuck over here. You have this dough. If you don't keep on working on it and baking it, it's going to turn into chametz. But you're not allowed to bake it because it's tame. So the challah part in it that you're going to be mafrish is going to be unable to be baked. And if you don't bake it, it's going to turn into chametz. So you're somewhat stuck over here. So what should you do? What are the options? Keitzah mafrishin challah betumim biyontif. You have a tame dika dough, and it's yontif for Pesach, because that's when it's only a concern. If it was yontif for Shavuos or Sukkos, so big deal. So you have a dough that becomes chametz. You'll put it in your refrigerator, and you'll bake it afterwards, or you'll just throw it in the garbage. Not a problem. You're not having a problem owning chametz. But here it's Pesach time, you can't keep it. So what are you supposed to do? So we have three opinions. The first opinion is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, what should you do? Lo tikra lo shame. Don't be mafrish the challah when it's in the dough state like we normally do. The ideal time to be mafrish challah is when it's a dough. So don't be mafrish it when it's the dough state before you're baking it into the matzah. So don't do that. Lo tikra lo shame until ach te'ofer, until you've baked it. Now you got a matzah, and somewhat bid the eved, you're allowed to be mafrish challah once it's already in the matzah state or in the bread state, and then you give it to the kohen. Now here, you're giving it to the kohen. The kohen is going to take it, but he can't eat it. But it's not chametz, so there's no problem. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says you should do. Don't let it stay in the dough state, because it will become chametz when you stop working on it, and you're allowed to bake it, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because right now, you don't know which piece is going to be the challah. Technically, any piece could be edible. Now, albeit 1/24th of it is going to be challah. Nevertheless, there's a potential for each piece to actually be eaten right now, and therefore you'll have to go and bake the entire thing. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's his opinion. On the other hand, Ben Bezerra says, no, you're going to have a problem. You're baking it for no reason. And therefore, he says, titol bitzonein, tatil bitzonein, go and put it into cold water. By immersing this dough that you've been mafrish eschal in cold water, it will stop the chimutz process. In other words, put it in the freezer. You make it no longer capable of becoming chametz. And then after Pesach, you can do with it whatever you need to do with it. And you won't be owning chametz on Pesach. And this, he says, is the preferred way to do it. Don't bake it, because then you have the problems of baking something that you're not allowed to eat on Pesach. You're not allowed to bake something on Yontif except for Ochel Nefesh. And here you can't eat it because it's challah that it's Temeah. So therefore, Ben Maseir says, Tatil Bitzonin. Amr Rav Yeshua, Rav Yeshua gives a third teretz. So we turn to the Amr Beis. Rav Yeshua says, Lo Zehu Chametz Shemuzarin Alob Bayimar Bayimatze. He says, what are you worried about over here? That this dough that you're mafrish in the dough state is going to now become chametz and turn into chametz and you're going to be over by your rabbi yamatzah? He says, that's not your dough. The only dough you're not allowed to have in your possession is dough that is yours or that you're responsible for. And here, this dough that you're mafrish truma, calling this dough challah, you're mafrish the challah here, and it doesn't belong to you anymore, it belongs to the kohen. But it doesn't belong to any specific kohen. So therefore, no specific kohen is over by your rabbi yamatzeh, and you're not over by your rabbi yamatzeh. So that's a simple thing to do. Go be mafresh it when it's still a dough. You're owning chametz on Pesach? You don't own chametz on Pesach because it doesn't belong to you. It's challah, and therefore it belongs to the kohen. And there's no specific kohen that it belongs to, so therefore nobody's over the isser. And therefore, ella, mafrishasa, go be mafresh the challah while it's still a dough. And keep it until after Yontif is over, and then in hechmitza, big deal. So there is chametz in the world on Pesach. That's not our concern. You're not allowed to have chametz that you own on Pesach. You're not allowed to be over by your rabbi yamatzeh. But this dough, which was yours until you were mafrish the challah from it, is no longer yours in halacha. You're not over by your rabbi yamatzeh, and the coin's not over by your rabbi yamatzeh. Now the bottom Tosos on Mem Vav Omud Beis asks a very good question. What was wrong with Ben Becerra's teretz? Ben Becerra's teretz is perfectly good. How would anybody have a problem with doing that? Just put it in cold water, and then you don't have any concerns with baking it. You don't have any concerns with bayir or bayir motzeh. It seems that Ben Becerra should be agreed upon by everybody, tatil bitzoning. So Tosa says, Omer Ri, brings down from the Ri, the Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua, lo plige a Ben Becerra. They don't argue with Ben Becerra. They say, you're right, taka. If somebody was mafrish the challah, put it in cold water. They're not saying don't. They agree with Ben Becerra that that's what you should do, so to say, after the fact. If that's what it comes to, so then put it in cold water. What they're saying is l'chatchila. My way, Rabbi Eliezer says, is perfectly fine. L'chatchila. And Rishu says, my way is perfectly fine also l'chatchila. Albeit, they'll agree that Ben Becerra's way could also work, bid the eved. So we basically have over here a machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And that's what we're going to focus on. So Gemara starts off and says, Lema, maybe what they're arguing about is betovas hanoa kamiflagi. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua are arguing about if a person has the right to give truma, or in this situation, the chala, one of the matnos kahuna, like truma, to a kohen, is that considered something definitive, substantive, that you have? You have the tovas hanoa, you have the right to give it to the kohen that you want. No Kohen can just come and take it from you. You have the right to give it to a Kohen. That's worth something. Other people may say, listen, I'd like to give it to my son-in-law, the Kohen. So I'll pay you $5 and let me give it to him. So it's worth $5 then, this Tova Sanah. So the Gemara says, maybe that's what Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua are arguing about. Let us say the Rabbi Elazar Sobar Tova Sanah Mamon. The Rabbi Elazar holds that, yes, that is a real substantive thing called Tova Sanah, that you have the choice to give it to whichever Kohen in the world you want to. And that's worth some money. Somebody might be willing to say, listen, I'll give you $5 if you give it to my son-in-law, the Kohen. So therefore, Tova Sanah is like Mamon. And therefore, you're getting benefit from this Chametz on Pesach. If you were to go and let it sit there, like Rabbi Yeshua said, you're owning Chametz that you're getting benefit from. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, Tova Sanah is real Mamon. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua, Sovar Tova Sanah ain't a Mamon. He says, come on. The fact that somebody will give you $5 and you could give it to this Kohen because he's giving you $5, that's not really substantive. And therefore, once you're mafrish the challah, so then you don't own it, as we said, and therefore you're not over by your Rabbi Matze. Tovas Hanah is not worth anything. So maybe that's what they're arguing about. So Gemara says, no, that's incorrect. Lo. Because in fact, and the Gemara will ultimately change this. So this is really a Havamina right now. The Gemara is ultimately going to say differently. But right now we're saying no. The Kuli Amos Savri Tovas Hanah in a moment. That in fact, both Rabbi Elazar and certainly Rabbi Yeshua hold that Tovas Hanah is not worth something substantively. Even though you have the right to give it to the coin that you want, that's not something you can take to the bank. Even though somebody might be willing to give you $5 for it, right now we're saying that everybody agrees, Rabbi Elazar as well as Rabbi Yeshua, that that's not considered substantive. It's not considered Mamon. So then what are they arguing about? Clearly, Rabbi Elazar says you should bake it, and Rabbi Yeshua says don't bake it. And you're not over by your eye if you don't bake it. So what are they arguing about? So the Gemara says, and again, here the girsa that we have is what I'm going to read, but Rashi is going to subsequently say that this girsa is wrong. On Daf Memches, Rashi says, until now, he's been explaining the Gemara the way his Rebbe's learned it, but he's troubled by the way his Rebbe's learned it, and he's going to change this girsa around. So I'll read it with the girsa we have, and then point out where Rashi changes it. So Rashi over here says that our girsa is v'hocha b'hoel komifligi. They're arguing about a principle called hoel. What is hoel? So hoel over here is amrinon. Do we or do we not say hoel? The Rabbi Elazar Sovar, Rabbi Elazar says amrinon hoel. We do say hoel, and what is this hoel? Hoel v'ibayi ishtalei Allah. That a person has the right to retract his being mafrish this chala. When a person is mafrish challah, he is basically making a vow. And he's saying, I'm declaring that this is challah. This 1/24th, or whatever portion he's taking off, has the halachic status now of being this matnas kahuna called challah. And therefore, he could say afterwards, whoops, I wish I hadn't done that. He goes to the Beis Din, and he asks them for hataras nedarim, and they go. And on matir is neder, they do hataras nedarim. And therefore, he can be shoal on this. So therefore, since he has the ability, hoel v'ibayi ishtalei Allah, since he could retract this, we view it in halacha as if it's retracted, and therefore it's his chametz. So if this dough were to become chametz, you can't say like Rabbi Yeshua, oh, it's not your dough, it's challah. It belongs to the Kohen in general, not to a specific Kohen, and therefore you're not over by your Rabbi Yamatzi. Rabbi Eliezer says, since I have the ability to retract that hafroshas challah, therefore, hoel v'yiboy ishtalei Allah, I could go and retract it by asking for Ataras Sedarim. Therefore, mamonehu, it is my property, and I would be over by your matzah. Therefore, I have to go and bake it. And Rabbi Yeshua suffered. No. Lo amrin and ho, we don't say hoel. And this is the girsa, as I said, that we have. Later on, we're going to say that this isn't correct. Rashi is going to explain to Gemara that on Daf Memches is going to retract all of this, and the Gemara is going to say that a different Hoel is being talked about. I'll wait till we get to the Gemara to discuss what other Hoel we're talking about, but therefore Rashi is going to subsequently say that this Girus is a mistake over here, and we shouldn't be saying Amrinun Hoel V'Yiboy Ishtil Allah, but we should just be saying Hoel. And therefore, we'll see what Hoel we're talking about as we go further in the Gemara. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, lo amrin and Hoel. This other Hoel, Hoel is a certain type of idea that I could do something, so therefore we view it as if I did. So whatever this other idea is, it's not Ishtalel, Allah. It's not talking about doing Hataras Nedarim. It's talking about something else. And therefore, Rashi prefers this other pshat that is not Goris over here, Hoel, v'yiboy, Ishtal Allah, but just to be Goris, Hoel. And as I said, we'll see as we go through the Gemara what this is talking about. Gemara digresses and gives us other examples of this concept of hoel. Itmar, we send the base medrash. Ha'ofe mi yom tov l'chol. If somebody goes and bakes from yontif for a weekday. Now, on Yontif, because of Ochel Nefesh, you're allowed to bake, you're allowed to cook on Yontif, but only for Yontif purposes. If somebody were to go bake on Yontif for a weekday, so that's a terrible thing. You're preparing on Yontif things that you don't need for Yontif for a weekday. So Rav Chisda Amar Loka. Rav Chisda says, you get Malkus. In other words, it's an Issa Daraisa. You're over something, transgressing, cooking on Yontif, not for Ochel Nefesh purposes, baking not for Ochel Nefesh purposes, and Rav Chisda says, you get Malkus. Whereas Rabba Omar in Oloka, Rabba says, you're not over in Issa Daraisa. You're not going to get Malkus for this. Now, what's the rationale between Rav Chisda, who says you do get Malkus, and Rabba says you don't get Malkus? So Rav Chisda Amar Loka, Rav Chisda says you get Malkus. You know why? Because we do not say Hoel. Lo Amrinon. We don't say the Hoel that Rabba says, the famous Hoel of Rabba. We'll see in a moment. But we don't say Hoel that maybe Umikloy Le Archim Chazile, that maybe when I'm cooking here for the weekday on Yontif, you know what? What happens if guests come? So I just cooked this other chicken. I just baked this other bread. And I'm planning to eat it on Tuesday on the weekday. But suddenly, Yontif afternoon, guests come. And I say, hey, would you like some fresh bread? I just made it. Would you like some chicken? I just made it. So since guests might come, Hoel, since Umikloy le Archim Chazile, if Archim were to come, this would be perfectly good food for them. So therefore, Rav Chisda says, we do not say that. And therefore, you get Malkus for cooking on Yontif. We don't say, well, if guests were to come, they could eat it, so therefore it's like cooking on Yontif for Yontif. We don't say that, Rav Chisda says. And Rabba Amar, Eino Loka. Yeah, we do say that. Since if guests were to come, we would give it to them. Therefore, you're not over cooking on Yontif for a weekday, because technically, Hoel, if guests were to come, it could be eaten on Yontif. We do say, Amrinon, Hoel, Umikloy Le Orchim Chazile. Since if guests were to come, we could give it to them. So Rabba says we say Hoel, and Rav Chisda says we don't say Hoel. So now Rabba's going to attack Rav Chisda and say, you also agree that we say Hoel, why don't you agree over here? Amalei Rabba Rav Chisda, Rabba says Rav Chisda, I'll show you that you also hold that you say Hoel. Where is that? L'didach, according to you now, who you're saying, the Amris Lo Amrin and Hoel, you're saying, oh, we don't say this principle, Hoel Mikloy Le Archim Chazilei. So then, according to you, Hech Ofim Yontif L'Shabbos, how are you ever allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos? You have a Friday Yontif, and you want to have a nice, fresh food for Shabbos night, for Friday night. So how are you going to cook on Friday fresh food? It's Yontif. Now, according to you, you're not allowed to cook on Friday for Yontif. Oh, according to me, since guests might come, so if I cook early enough in the day that guests could benefit from the food Friday afternoon, Yontif, so then, hol umikloy le'archim, since if guests come, I could give it to them on Yontif. I'm not over-preparing on Yontif for Shabbos, which according to Rabba, you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to go prepare on Yontif for Shabbos. So since guests might come, that's my heter to prepare on Yontif for Shabbos. But according to you, Rav Chisda, Rabba says, L'didach, the Amar Zlo Amrino, you don't hold this principle, Hoel. So how are you ever allowed to cook on Friday, bake on Friday for Shabbos? When Friday is Yontif, Hech Ofin Mi Yontif L'Shabbos. Because you're not allowed to do that. So Rav Chisda says, Amalei, Mishum Erev Tavshilin. Oh, because we make an Erev Tavshilin. Because of the Erev Tavshilin, that's why I'm allowed to cook. So Rabba says, how does an Erev Tavshilin, which is a Dirabbanan type of an idea, or Mishum Erev Tavshilin, which is Dirabbanan, how does that Sharinan Isura Daraisa? How does that allow you to go and be over in Issa Daraisa? According to what I'm saying, it's an Issa Daraisa to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. Yontif is not allowed to prepare for Shabbos. Yontif is not allowed to prepare for a weekday. Yontif is only allowed to prepare for Yontif. So how does this construct of Dirabbanan of an Erev Tavshilin allow you to be over in Issa Daraisa? So Rav Chisda says, that's because I don't agree with you. Amalei, midaraisa. In fact, I hold Yontif is allowed to prepare for Shabbos. Midaraisa tzorchi Shabbos are in fact nasim biyontif. There is no issa daraisa that you can't prepare on Yontif for Shabbos. Shabbos and Yontif are considered one entity called Shabbos. Yontif is also referred to as Shabbos. So then why can't you cook without an Erev Tavshilin from Yontif to Shabbos? Oh, the Rabbanon. Who the gazru be gezeira shema yomru ofim yontif af lechol. The rabbi said, whoa, if we start allowing people to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, you know what's going to happen next? People are going to cook on Yontif for Chol. They say, wait, I'm not eating on Yontif, I'm eating on Shabbos, so what difference does it make? If I'm not eating on Yontif, I can also make it to not eat it on Yontif when I'm doing it for Tuesday, for a weekday, and not for Shabbos. So therefore, the rabbi said, this is very dangerous territory. While midaraisa, a person can cook on Yontif for Shabbos, we better put in some safeguards here, because otherwise, before you know it, people will cook on Yontif for Shabbos, they're going to cook on Yontif for Chol as well. And therefore, Rabbanan made a gezeir over here, Shema Yomer Ofim Yontif Av L'Chol. And that's why an Erev Tavshilin works. The rabbi said, Kivin Dir Tzuchua, Rabban, an Erev Tavshilin. The rabbi said, make an Erev Tavshilin. And people can say, why am I making an Erev Tavshilin? Ooh, because I'm allowed to only cook on Yontif for Shabbos. I'm not allowed to cook on Yontif for a weekday. It's Leakeru. That's going to be the Heker. And that's what Rav Chisda answers to Rabbah. I don't have to hold from Hoel. It's not Hoel that allows me to cook Hoel Umikloy LeYarchin. No, it's the fact that Min HaDin, Min Daraisa, I'm allowed to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. And it's only here, because the rabbis made a Gzeru, that I may come to then cook to a weekday. And the way to prevent that is using an Erev Tavshilin. Rabbah tries again. Rabbah asks Rav Chisda from the following. Behema HaMasukenis. If you have a sick animal, and if this animal dies, it's going to become a nevela, and it's worth $10 for dog food. But if you shecht it, it's worth $100, $1,000 for human food. It's good kosher food, as opposed to being nevela food, which is not very valuable for Jewish people. So therefore, if you have a sick animal, now on Yontif, you're allowed to shecht, to eat on Yontif. But now you have this behemah mesukenis, which you would be allowed to shecht on Yontif, but you're not hungry. You just ate lunch, and your animal is sick. And you say, uh-oh, if I don't shecht this animal now, the animal might die, and then I'm going to be out a lot of money. But I just ate, I'm not hungry, so there's no reason for me to shecht this animal. So you have a quandary over here. Behemah mesukenis, you have an animal, but you don't really need food right now. You ate enough. So behemah mesukenis lo yishchol, you're not allowed to go shecht such an animal. Unless, ela kedei sheyochol lechol hemen o kizayis tzli mibod yom. Unless you can eat a kizayis of tzli, the Mefarshim point out, tzli, Rashi says here, is the easiest way to go and roast something, so it needs the shortest amount of time. Zeu kal bebishulim, so you quickly roast it, you make it a little bit roasted, so now you can eat a kezayis of it. Kezayis is considered the choshev amount, and therefore, you'd allow it to be shechting this animal, even just to eat a kezayis on Yontif. This way, you won't lose the $1,000 that the animal's worth. It won't turn into a nevela. You shechted it, and as long as you could, you don't have to eat it. As long as you could, kidei sheyochol lechol lemena kezayis tzli mibo yom, then it's good. Yochol lechol, if there's enough time, it's good. Afal gav de lo boi lemechol, but you don't actually have to eat it. You just can shecht it in that situation, as long as it was enough time. Why is that? So Rabbi says, I got no problems. Bishlomo lididei, who I say, d'amri hoel, since hoel, the boi lemechol motzi yochol, if I wanted to eat it, I could, so therefore I don't have to eat it. Since if guests were to come, they would be able to eat it. Guests don't have to come, but that's just a potential. Ho means the potential. Since if something would happen, it would be okay. So therefore, it's okay even if it doesn't happen. So Rabbah says, Lindy, everything is good. Since if I wanted to, I could roast and eat a kezayis. So therefore, Bishlomo Lididi, I say ho. The e boy lemecha motziyachol. If I wanted to eat from it a kezayis, I could. Therefore, Mishum Hachi Yishkot, I'm allowed to go shecht it. But according to you, Rav Chisda, Elididach, you don't apply the principle of Hoel. The Amris Lo Amrin and Hoel. You don't say Hoel. So then, how come you're allowed to shecht this behemah mesukenis? You're not eating from it. So where it says, Amalei, Rav Chisda says to him, no, there's a rule over here that says, the Hefsid Mamon, sometimes we're allowed to be Mekil. Mishum Hefsid Mamono. It's going to be worth $50 if I use it as dog food, as the vela meat. It's worth $1,000 if I use it as kosher meat. That's a huge financial loss. And because of Hefsid Meruba, Hefsid Mamon, we're allowed to go and transgress what would normally be over here forbidden. What? The rabbi says, Mishum Hefsid Mamon, because the guy's losing $1,000. Sharina Nisura Daraisa? Oh, I'm going to lose a lot of money if I don't go work on Shabbos. I can work on Shabbos? Rahman al-Islam, no. How can you possibly say for a financial loss, you're allowed to be over in Nisura Daraisa? Rav Chisda, what are you thinking? So Rav Chisda says, it's not an issur d'oraisa. I'm like, yeah, in, it's not a problem. You know why? Mishum hefsid mamono gomar belibo kilecho kizayis. Because this guy says, if I don't shecht this animal and eat a kizayis of it, I'm going to lose $1,000. So therefore, he is essentially saying, I'm going to go eat a kizayis of this. And as long as v'yevshor l'chizayis v'lo shchita, since you can't go and eat a kizayis without shechting it, he now is allowed to shecht it. As Rashi says, v'yodeyahu she'enu mutu b'lo achila. Since he knows he's not allowed to shecht this, unless he eats a kezayis, he's gomar belibo. He sets in his heart, la'ane says that's what he's going to force himself. He just stuffed himself with lunch, but he's going to force himself to eat a kezayis of this roasted meat. V'la'avar al dato v'lecho kezayis. And he's going to go against his normal thinking of, I'm not hungry, and he's going to force himself to eat a kezayis, and therefore, v'havale kitzorich lezayis b'yontif. And therefore, it becomes as if he needs this kezayis on yontif, and therefore, for simchas yontif, he's allowed to go shecht it. Umishum ha'uzayis boilim mishkatei. He can now shecht it because of that kizayis. The entire animal can shecht because, of course, the efshol kizayis b'asav lo shkita. You can't cut off every minachai, so you have to shecht the animal to get a kizayis. You'll have to shecht no animal. As opposed to avol hocha delek lameim argama belibul anis atzvo mishum hoel. You can't say over here, since if I want to eat, I could go and eat it. Therefore, I'm allowed to eat it. That's not the same thing. And therefore, lo shirin nisur daraisa. That would be an isur daraisa. Kim de lo tzorich lemide. In that situation, the person isn't going to really force himself to go and eat it. And therefore, that's the difference. That's what Rav Chisda says. It's no longer an isur daraisa. And that's why you're allowed to go shechta, because he's going to force himself to eat a kizayis. Now let's go back a little bit. The Gemara says, we just said before that Rav Chisda holds that technically Yontif is Mechin for Shabbos, both of them called Shabbos. And we said, the Erev Tavshilin is just making a hecker, so you shouldn't go end up, by mistake, if you think you can cook on Yontif for Shabbos, you'll end up cooking Yontif for a weekday. So the Gemara says, Eisvei, we're going to question this understanding that Rav Chisda had from the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Menachos, and we turn to the Amud Beis, Lechem upon him. When you're dealing with the Lechem upon him, the 12 showbreads that we have out on the Shulchan, so they're always baked the week before, they're switched over on Shabbos, and then they stay on the table, on the Shulchan, all week long until the next Shabbos when they're taken off and they're eaten. This was one of the great Nisim that was boiling, piping hot. You could see the smoke coming off it still a week later. Now, they normally were cooked on Friday because you can't cook them on Shabbos. It's not Docha Shabbos. So normally, they're Necha Letisha, they're baked on Friday. They switch over on the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan that next day, Shabbos. That's day two. And then they stay on that Shulchan all week long till the next Shabbos, which is 7 days later, which is day nine. So normally, the Necha Letisha, they're either eaten on the ninth day, which is a week after the Shabbos, right after they're baked, or Liasora, as we'll see, if Friday is a Yontif, you can't bake it on Friday, which will be the whole point that we're going to ask against Rav Chisda, how come you can't bake on Friday for Shabbos? So we see that you're not allowed to bake on Friday for Shabbos, so therefore, it's going to be another week. Uliacharasor, sometimes it's 11 days if Thursday and Friday are Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a two-day Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael. So then if Thursday and Friday are Rosh Hashanah, then you bake it on Wednesday. And it will be actually 11 days. You bake it on Wednesday, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Thursday, first day of Rosh Hashanah is day two. Friday, second day of Rosh Hashanah, day three. Shabbos is day four. The following week later, 7 days later, is day 11. So sometimes you're going to be baking the lechem upon him on Friday and eating it 9 days later. Sometimes you're going to be baking it on Thursday when Friday is Yom Kippur or a Yontif, and you're going to be eating it 10 days later on the following Shabbos. And sometimes, if Thursday and Friday are Rosh Hashanah, you're going to bake it on Wednesday and eat it 11 days later the following Shabbos. And this is the maximum and the minimum. 9, 10, or 11. Lo pachos, lo yoser. You're never going to have more or less days. Now, Ketzad, I already explained this. Here's where this Mishnah in Menachos tells us. Ketzad, Kedarko, Letisha. A regular Friday, when you bake it, it's going to be 9 days. Nefeber of Shabbos, it's baked on Friday. And Nefeber Shabbos, the following Shabbos, a week after the next day, Letisha, which is day 9. Chol Yom Tov, Liosber of Shabbos, if Friday is Yontif, so you're not allowed to bake on Friday, Yontif, for Shabbos. Kasha and Rav Chisda. Here it says, Beferish, you can't do this. But Rav Chisda, you said technically you're allowed to. Now, you said the rabbis made a gzeira not to do this, but this is in the Beis HaMikdash where we don't have the Rabbanons. We should be saying, Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. So here's the Kasha on Rav Chisda. It should be, Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. You should be allowed to go bake the Lechem upon him in the Beis HaMikdash on Friday Yontif. That's the kasha. But let's finish reading the Mishnah over here in Menachos. So chol yom tov lios be'er Shabbos, so nechol Shabbos le'asara, because you bake it on Thursday, Erev Yontif, and you eat it in that situation on day 10, the following Shabbos, day 10. And nechol Shabbos le'asara. If you have shnei yom tov shirosh Hashanah, Thursday, Friday, so then you're baking it on Wednesday, and you're eating it, and that should be liachadosor. Some Gemara seem to have liachar eser, which I guess would be after the 10th day, which would be the 11th day, but I think it should be liachadosor. In any event, in that situation, the reasoning is lefi she'enu doche lo es haShabbos lo es haYontif, that you're not allowed to bake the lechem upon him on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to bake them on Yontif, or Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you, Rav Chisda, say that min adin min daraisa, Yontif is allowed to be mechin for Shabbos, and it's only a gzera d'rabbanon, that if you allow Yontif to cook for Shabbos, like the din is, min daraisa, you can end up cooking Rachmanu Litzlan on Yontif for Chol, so the rabbis instituted a shvus, a gzera, amaylo docha Yontif, it should be able to be docha Yontif, because ein shvus b'mikdosh. So Rav Chisda answers, it depends. When we say ein shvus b'mikdosh, it means an immediate ramification. but not a distant ramification. Amalei shvus krova hetiru, something that's immediately going to happen. So the rabbi said, ain't shvus b'mikdash. So if you eat tomorrow, so then you could cook yontif for Shabbos, but he's not eating until the following Shabbos. So shvus kirova hetiru, shvus rechoka lo hetiru, but a very distant shvus that they didn't allow you to go and eat. Here there is shvus b'mikdash. The Gemara says, no, wait a second. What about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Rabbi Shimon ben Askan. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, Doch es yontif, veino doch es yom tzom. You're right. The din that yontif is allowed to go and cook for Shabbos, that's true. But Yom Kippur on Friday, which could happen in the times of Re'iyah, when the Rosh Chodesh was declared by seeing the new moon. Now there with our calendar, that can't happen. But if Yontif were to be on Friday, so then it's not Doche as Yom Tzom. You can't go cook on Yom Kippur for Shabbos, because you're not allowed to eat and cook on Yom Kippur. So therefore, you can't cook on Yom Kippur for Shabbos as well. So therefore, Michael Neymar, according to Rabbi Gamliel, you are allowed to go bake the lechem upon him in Yontif. So therefore, he seems to be saying that in fact, even a Shvus Rechoka, while the rabbis instituted a gzera that you shouldn't go cook yontif for Shabbos because of the gzera, you may come to cook yontif for chol, so you're saying that that's a shvus rechoka, and that's why the lechem upon him is not allowed to be baked on yontif, even for the following Shabbos, because it's a shvus and it's a shvus rechoka. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, disagrees with that and says you are allowed to and bake it. It must be that he holds that even a shvus rechoka doesn't apply ein shvus b'mikdash. So Gemara says, yeah, Taka, that's what Chissa says. Baal pligi, that's exactly what they're arguing about. Mar sovar shvus krova itiru, or shvus rechok lo itiru. The Tanakhama says it's only a shvus krova that they were matir, a shvus rechok they're not matir. Well, mar sovar, Roshim Gamliel, and then Roshim Naskan says shvus rechok also na mihi tiru. They also allowed that to be matired. With this, we conclude today's share.